unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sam. Again from Sing Praise, this time it's hymn 276. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. The theme for today is a question, which is often the case. Who wants peace? And probably if I asked you to a show of hands, you'd all be on the side of saying, I want peace. Then the next thing I did, after thinking that this was a good question for at least 2 minutes of your attention, not that this will last 2 minutes only, was, can peace be defined by what the dictionary says? Don't bother to look. They're the most sterile definitions that you can imagine. They're a collection of words, and it makes perfect sense, except that it doesn't engage. And particularly when we want to put it into the context of the kingdom of God. We all agree that disagreements are part of life. So it's not a question of disagreements, which we agree exist. The question is, how are they resolved? And you probably guessed from the prayer that was prepared by the Committee of Churches Together in England that I read a few moments ago, that we can't think of peace without at the same time using the word justice. Is there such a thing as peace without justice? And there's only one answer to that, and the answer is no. I was given a gift some time ago, and I don't know if I've ever shown it to you. It's not even a stole, because it's about half the length of the ones I have. But this is a Palestinian design, and you'd recognize the tree at the bottom, even if you can't see it too much. What tree would it be? It's not. It's an olive tree. Because the olive is much closer to their life than the peace of the tree of Lebanon. And to those of you who read Reform magazine, this month came extra material to think about. And there's a wonderful article here, Where Are the Peacemakers? And if you know somebody who gets Reform but you don't, ask them to share it so that you can read this article, written by Martha Hunt of Place for Hope. And she explores the theology of making peace. Because the truth of the matter is, peace does not descend like a dove from above. Peace is something we have to work on and build. So who wants peace? Do all people want peace? And clearly that's not the case. Some people prefer to make a living out of denying peace and living for war. That is as clear as daylight. Some people have the power to decide to work for peace and choose to work for enrichment, power, personal pride, rather than for peace. And so many other people just simply suffer the decisions that people take, and their voices aren't heard. Over the years I've been here, many a time I've said, I have a problem with those who say they will be the voice of the voiceless. There aren't voiceless people. There are voices that aren't heard, which is quite different. Because even people with sign language have a voice. So nobody should attribute themselves with being the voice of the voiceless unless they are talking with the people they pretend to represent. True peace involves the whole of life. Human life, the created world, working together for the benefit of all, and not only for some. It involves empathy. It involves justice. And this cannot be torn apart without breaking any possibility of peace. Read any newspaper of the last year. How many people have talked of peace, but when they get to the negotiating table, just sit with their idea, full stop? They don't listen to what other people are saying. They don't listen to the cries of the people who are on the forefront of violence. Gaza and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, very recently Nepal, with the parliament being burnt, Syria, Sudan,
What is happening in the United States of America, the land of the free? Where apparently even criticizing somebody in government is now becoming illegal. Our own country, in the need of finding understanding, where many people live in fear. If you saw on the news on Friday, a young Sikh woman going to work in her hometown where she'd lived all her life, was raped on the way to work and told to go back to where she had come from. And where had she come from? From home, because she'd been born in that village. What's going on in Argentina and in Brazil? And you can pick any other reality. We are living in one of the most violent times we can remember. And I don't know about you, but to me, I never imagined I'd be seeing what I'm seeing today. The tension, the division, the hatred, where even the flag has now become a symbol of one side or another. So many children, elderly, young, the earth, the waters, the air, all struggling. And in the midst of this, Sam read the words from James. Now, James is one of the controversial authors of the New Testament. Martin Luther hated him. Martin Luther said that the letter of James was straw that only deserved to be burnt. Because, of course, Martin Luther said, grace alone. And James says, show me your faith in your actions. So even the biblical world or the Reformation world wasn't necessarily always a friendship arrangement. They had their struggles. James, who speaks about wisdom and understanding, deeds done in all humility, and all that coming from wisdom. And he opposes that to bitter envy, selfish ambition, denying the truth. He could have written or described what you will read in the newspaper this morning or seen in the news last night. And then he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. And it gives the impression that we are living in a world where envy and selfish ambition have got the louder voice. Does that sum it all up? Is there an alternative? Well, I hope we believe there is, because or else our presence here this morning is illogical. And there is a wonderful word that appears in every written reality, and it appears in the Bible. You hear a situation, and then you have the word, but. But! Get ready, because things are going to be put upside down. Things are going to change. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, as opposed to selfish, envy, ambition. We do have an alternative. Don't let us be sucked in to the depressing reality. And I know many of you say, I don't come to church to get the same thing I get on the news. There's got to be something different. I hope there will be before you leave this morning. Are we the people that want peace? We've got a peace candle. We've got the amnesty candle, the Christ candle. So I think we have a few clear indications of where we stand as a church. What can be done in these times if we choose to be peacemakers? And peacemakers do things, are makers, not only prayers for peace. One of the most important things is to develop a critical mind. Not everything the media says should be believed. I know that sounds like a heresy. I'm sorry, but it's true. Don't believe everything. I'm not saying everything is a lie, but make sure you've pushed things around, excavated, gone deep in. Find out if it's true. Not even the most prestigious media today is above the possibility of making a mistake. We have to ask questions together, with friends, at home, on your Facebook, if you have one, in the WhatsApp you send, in the conversations you have. We have to look at history. And taken from the notes for this service prepared by Churches Together in England, the Israel of the Bible is not the same as Israel today, no matter how much people want to push that. Judaism and Zionism aren't the same. Not all who say they follow Jesus really want to follow Jesus. They want to follow a few words and a few interpretations, but happily expel, cast out anything that goes against their thinking. Does the arm industry want peace the same way as Doctors Without Borders want peace? Why does the United Nations Relief and Work Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, easier called UNRWA, exist? And why did the great nations of the world give up their contributions to it? I have a soft spot for that, I can't deny it. One of my closest friends that I met over 40 years ago, and we are still friends, was a United Nations representative of UNRWA in Palestine. And we had many conversations. Why do people put their lives at risk to help others in difficult situations? Why doctors who could be living comfortably in a good hospital with all the resources needed decide to go over there where the hospitals have been bombed, where they have no rooms, and do what they can to help people? Why do people who believe the Bible should be taken literally so often ignore and go against what the Bible is very clear about? And I want to give you three examples. There are many more. But such a thing, the Bible says so. Okay, I don't deny it says that. But tell me what they would say to this. When an alien resides with you in your land, you will not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizens among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Can you imagine standing up in Rotherham and saying that to those who were protesting in front of a hotel? Another one from Deuteronomy. That was from Leviticus just now. Cursed, I'm not my words. Cursed be anyone who deprives the alien, the orphan, and the widow of justice. All the people shall say, Amen. If God had a special place in a heart for groups, they're there. The widow, the orphan, the foreigner, the alien. And now from Deuteronomy. And without this verse, we could not understand the book of Ruth, for example. Ruth was a foreigner. Not only a foreigner, but in Deuteronomy, they say you should have no contact with the tribe which Ruth came from for 10 generations, which meant forever and ever. And where does she appear? She's the grandmother of a very famous guy in the Old Testament. She's one of the three women in the genealogy of Jesus. A foreigner, a stranger, an immigrant, who when her mother-in-law said, go back to your people, she said, no, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. When you reap the harvest of your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. They shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. And when you gather the grapes in your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, the widow. You probably latched on. Alien, orphan, and widow are important to God. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. I'm not inviting you to say, oh, that's a good idea. We should try that out one day. This is the basis of how God wanted his people to live. And you can say, oh, that's the Old Testament. But it's still there. Why are they ignored? And then Jesus picked this up. Matthew 25, when he said, each time you did this for one of the least of them, you did it for me. Oops. And James today. Always remember, we proclaim that God loves justice and that in Jesus we learn the importance of those who are cast aside, who are oppressed, who are marginalized. They are close to God's heart. Remember that according to Matthew, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had to run to Egypt to save his life. Remember the teachings of Jesus about loving our enemies and doing good to them, not to judge and to forgive. Or as we read in the letter of James, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. What do we mean when we say we want to make the kingdom of God present in the world today? Here and now. So who wants peace? Because I think in the readings today, in James alone, there is something that we could sit down and talk to people and say, you want peace. But these are the terms. Do you agree with that? Well, clearly, it's those people whose actions are peaceful, whose words bring understanding, and whose life is a contribution to justice. We live in violent times. So we need to affirm that we are makers of peace and justice. And I know what each of us do today will not bring absolute peace in any of the regions we're thinking of. But without us doing what we can, nothing will ever happen. It is a process, and God will water the seed. It will grow. It will be bountiful in its fruit because it will join with what other people are doing. And if we don't believe that, we have to revise our thinking and our living. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. James ended the reading of today, the passage that was read today. Those who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. It starts with a simple step, with a simple word. And sometimes that word has to be no. I am not going to go down that road. But sometimes it'll be, yes, let's walk together on that road. That's how we create peace. Amen. Have a moment of silence, and then I'll read a short prayer from the Anglican Archbishop in Jerusalem, the Most Reverend Dr. Chuzam Naum. And he wrote this prayer in August of this year, so it's probably just a month old. Let's have a moment of silence, and then I will read this prayer. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. In your mercy, provide for all those in Gaza and beyond who suffer from hunger and starvation, that they may be given both physical bread to nourish their bodies and heavenly bread to sustain their souls. By the power of your Spirit, bring a speedy end to this cruel war, the release of all captives, care for the sick and wounded, comfort for those who have lost loved ones, and the opening of a pathway for a just and lasting peace here in the very homeland where your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ministered during his earthly life. He who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll sing from Sing Praise. 251, we will omit the third verse. 251, put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure hold it, protect it like a candle flame, with tenderness enfold it. Fred Cann brilliantly wrote that hymn, inspired for a moment like this, sadly, for other moments he'd lived previous to this, and summed it all up. Before the prayers of intercession, let us share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. In different ways. O Lord, it belongs to you and has been given to us to be faithful administrators of this, your blessing. Guide those who have to decide how it is used and guide our lives so that what we have and who we are may proclaim to the world that your way of doing things is a better way. And that the world may find that peace does make sense. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much.
You okay?
Yes, I promise. Will lead us in the prayers.
The prayers today very much follow on from the theme of what Robert's been saying just now. Dear Lord, there seems to be an awful lack of real peace in the world at the moment. So we pray for that, first of all. For peace between individuals, in families, towns, cities, and countries. We ask too for more tolerance of different opinions. May those with influence have a real desire to build bridges and bring peace. May we too play our part in this, maybe reaching out to somebody with whom there has been friction in the past. We can all do our bit, even if it seems small. We also hear a great deal about extreme weather. Let us do all we can to try to reduce, reuse, and recycle, as well as try to cut out more waste and reduce our use of energy where it is safe to do so. May all our churches be places of refuge and welcome to our brothers and sisters out there. We ask too that our Old Town partnership might really thrive and be a blessing to our community. And now we pause to turn our attention to all those in our church and outside who are finding life difficult because of physical or mental issues. We pray for each one of them now in the silence. May they all find your peace. And finally, although it's early, Christmas is starting to be mentioned in shops and adverts and elsewhere. Let us be prepared to explain its true meaning for those who are unaware. We ask for all these things in your dear Son's name and for your strength in the coming days. Amen.
Thank you, Wally.
We're coming to the end of the service, slightly making up for the extra time you spent in church last Sunday. Remember, we have a church meeting. And I also want to remind you, bear in mind and in your prayers, that next Sunday, Highworth has a very special celebration. 200 years of the church in its current building, and we hope to have a great service there next Sunday. And remember Highworth, because we will be celebrating, but the instruction is give thanks for the past and look to the future. And that's what we will be doing, I hope. Our final hymn this morning, from Rejoice and Sing this time, hymn 638, Thy Kingdom Come, O God, Thy Rule, O Christ, Begin. Our blessing today comes from a Franciscan blessing that you have heard many times, but given the service today and the theme, is always good to be reminded. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand and comfort them and turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children. Amen. Go in peace and be those people who trust they can make a difference. Amen.